All right, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a good one. Joe, how about you?
Oh, doing great. Today is part two of the Subway Series. The Mets won the first one 2-0. Hoping for another sweep this week.
Okay. I immediately thought of the sandwich, but within a second I knew. Yeah. You were going baseball.
We're talking about the Amazons. Yeah. Trade deadline next week. I mean, it's, you know, all this focus on Harris, Biden, Trump, Vance. It's like, we're a week away from the trade deadline. The Mets started the season thinking they'd be sellers. Now, they're three games out of first place in the wild card.
So, Bill's training camp really gets underway tomorrow.
Exciting.
And here's the question for you, because I know you've tried to, not necessarily for you, but for people you know in the past, you've gotten training camp tickets for,
yes,
because you get like early access.
Right.
Were you asked this time around for training camp tickets?
No one asked me for training camp tickets.
So I kind of feel like there has been they still were snatched up in,
yeah,
like 2 seconds, but I didn't even try this year.
That's a great point.
Like after trying the last 2 years and just being shut out, it's like I didn't even I didn't even try.
No one asked for training camp, and no one asked me for back to red and blue, or whatever they call that, the first Friday in August game.
You're generally still able to get into there. They opened up the upper deck for that last year, right?
Right. But last year someone asked me if I would, like, they were afraid it would sell out.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone ask me for either.
I think people are, like, kind of giving up on it. Like, well, if it makes its way to me, that's fine, but I know I'm going to be shut out.
I'm very excited for this season. Like, I'm never one to go to training camp. Like, I'll watch the reports. I'll follow what's going on. You know, I always go to the first preseason game. But I'm excited. I'm excited that football's back and talk. It's my favorite time of year. Football's ramping up. Baseball's in full swing. College football's right around the corner. I mean, it's a great time. And it's still summer. And Halloween decorations are out at Lowe's. I mean, what a time to be alive.
Like 3 weeks ago, I saw candy corn in the aisle. I'm like, no, no. Unless it's red, white, and blue candy corn. No, yeah. You can't do it. The training camp is like something I would be into right now, too, because I have a 4-year-old. Like,
yes.
Like that's the Bills event to take him
to.
You
send him up there with a football and a Sharpie?
It's just been so hard to, I mean, you know, it used to just be, you know, come on down. I mean, like, there was plenty of room, but
I remember someone, I mean, years, maybe a decade ago, calling me on like a Sunday before afternoon practice. Hey, want to go to Rochester and see the Bills?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do that now.
Yeah.
You have to plan it weeks in advance, months in advance, but I remember when it used to be like, hey, I got these two tickets, let's go to Rochester. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think it'll be exciting. I think it's exciting to have a little bit of unknown.
Yes.
Around the team, like heading into, like, all right, we got like all these new receivers. Who's gonna be the guy?
Mitch is back. Trubisky.
Okay. did not register. Did not register.
Mitch Trubisky's back. We got a solid backup quarterback.
No offense. So here's the thing. Now that we're like a couple days removed, I can say this. Dawson Knox was on my flight home.
Yes.
I want to...
Brian flies first class, by the way, for everyone.
No. So, like, that's what I'm getting at. Southwest. So, like, no assigned seats. Is that a, like, big thumbs up man of the people move? Or is that a red flag?
No, that's a man of the people. That's like, I don't care that I'm on the Bills now, that I have a nice contract, right? That I'm a star player.
It's a little more than the nice contract.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but it's not, it's like I had no problem. This is how I would feel. If I ever came into money, which will never happen, I'm in radio. But if I ever came into money, Brian, this got me from A to B when I had nothing. What's different now? Why can't I be in a boarding zone and sit with the people now?
But there are exclusions to that. If I was a multimillionaire, I would never not be in first class on a plane.
But there is no first class on Southwest.
Exactly, which is why my mouth was on the ground when I saw him at the gate about to go on the Southwest.
What flight did you see him on? From where to where?
From Nashville to Buffalo.
Direct flight?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else offers Nashville to Buffalo direct flight?
I have no idea.
That's the but that's the thing. Like,
are they like the only one? Is that
yeah? Like, so am I going to fly first class just so I can say be first class? Or
That's a good point.
In Dawson X, now I worked 6 months at a liquor store when he first signed with the Bills, and he just seems like an all around great guy, nice
guy, talkative guy. I just don't want to necessarily like sign up for sitting next to anybody when I'm kind of known.
See,
I'm talking about as Dawson Knox. I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about myself, by the way.
But this makes me like Dawson Knox more because I always had, I always felt when I saw Darcy Regier in first class once when I was a kid. And I was like, ugh, he thinks he's so much better. He should be back here talking with us.
No, no, no. It's not about thinking you're better.
Yes, it is.
It's about being able to, there's nothing worse than sitting in those little seats on the airplane.
But just
it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world. And if you're especially if you're a big guy like he is, a little extra leg room, if we hear about him cramping up on the field tomorrow.
But where on the plane was he?
I know why.
I'm guessing he was a boarding zone, so he probably was in a more spacious row. Was he in the exit row? Was he in the first row?
I don't know. I didn't see him. I grabbed the first seat and I put my head down and sit in the middle somewhere.
See, just because you have the money, you know, Dave Ramsey says this, just because you have the money doesn't mean you should spend it.
Right. But if it's like $50 more for a little extra leg room and you've got a lot of it, I'm kind of doing it.
I have so much more respect for him since you told me that. Like, it's been marinating in my head since you told me yesterday. And I'm like, I love this man even more.
I tend to agree with you. Like, he's not, you know, private jet, like all that,
right,
over the, not like flaunting the money, like that's great and stuff. I can't fathom not being in a little bit more of a plush seat, or at least wanting to ensure that I know who I'm going to be next to if I'm a Buffalo Bill on a flight to Buffalo.
Well, I saw a former Bills.
No offense to Bills fans.
I saw a former Bills quarterback hours after a game in coach on a Delta flight. In mid-flight, I found out he had been cut from the Bills.
Yeah.
Matt Leinart, the day after the one game he started as a Buffalo Bills quarterback, he was like in the second to last row on a Delta flight to Atlanta in coach.
Like, that's rough. That's rough. How are those seats like on the charter plane? Is it all extra leg room or is it like what we sit in?
You'll have to ask Chris Brown next time he's on.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
Because you're just never more uncomfortable than that. And I'm picturing like a big football player sitting in that little seat.
Yeah.
In the middle row.
I'm sure he was able to get the row of his choosing.
I didn't see.
But now that I think of it, it might have also been for the convenience factor. Like, okay, now I don't have to. I think they are the only one that does direct. So that might
Okay, that makes sense.
That I didn't think of that yesterday. I could be wrong, by the way. If someone knows, text us. But good for Dawson Knox. Keep on flying with the people, and you will be loved forever by Bills Mafia.
I'm just saying, if he goes down with a leg cramp tomorrow, now you know why.
Well, I'm guessing it's not the first time he flew on Southwest.
I'm just saying, like, that's it might have something to do with it. All right, lots going on here, 803-0930.
Last Southwest question, I promise.
Yeah.
Do you like how they have no cart, or do you wish they had a cart when they did drink service?
I don't. I got a water.
Yeah, that's usually what I get.
When I was flying back, because it was a little warm on that plane, and I get a little motion sick.
Was your vent working?
Barely.
Oh.
I can get a little motion sick, which like will heat you up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah,
I need a little water here just to make sure we don't have to pull out the bag from the back of the seat. So I got a water. I don't get anything. I don't like getting anything. So I don't care what you go down with or whatever. I don't want the trash. I don't need a little bag of pretzels. I have my own water if I'm thirsty. Like, I don't want the hassle of it. I don't want to have to ask somebody to pass it down, or, you know, if someone's sleeping next to me and I'm like, oh, wait, sorry, I got to get this, like, biscuit. It's like a dog treat they give you now in some of these flights. You know, waking up this guy next to me. Shake my head no. No thanks.
So I usually get a water. Last time, I was sleepy on the one flight, but on the flight from Buffalo to Chicago, they did come by and I got just a glass of water and put it in my water bottle, which I brought to the airport and then filled up after the TSA. And
so they shot at me.
Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. I understand what they're trying to do, right? Not bring that big cart. But I was almost asleep by the time they came back with my drink.
Like, that's the other thing. Like, maybe I'm trying to sleep or something. It just, I don't need the, it's not like back in the day where they used to give you a steak dinner.
No.
You're not missing out.
And when you were a kid, that was exciting. You saw the cart and you get to pick. I get to pick what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, kid. Like, hey, here's
I want a vanilla Coke. We don't have vanilla Coke. Oh, I'll just take a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And here's three bags of peanuts. Thank you.
Here's half a can of pop and some peanuts, which it's never peanuts anymore.
No, it's, I believe on Southwest, it's Chex like a mix. Snack mix. Yeah.
Or whatever.
And then they would give you the little lapel wings if you asked. When I was a kid. Not now.
Yes. They don't do that anymore?
Not for me.
Well, yeah.
But when I was a kid.
Not for you.
When I was a kid, they wouldn't.
I don't bother. I don't do it. Don't want to. It's not worth it anymore. What you're handing out is not. Unless, like this last one, like I felt like I needed it or else.
Lately, I've just been doing night flights. You know, I did the red eye. I did the late night to L.A. On the way there. If it's a morning flight, I'll get like a coffee or something. But like midday or night, yeah, no thank you.
That's the other thing, like coffee or tea. The lady next to me got a tea.
She spilled it on you?
No, but I'm like, I was watching her just to make sure she wouldn't. Like I would be nervous that I would spill it on somebody else.
Yeah, some bad turbulence.
Yeah, you hit a bump and then all of a sudden like your neighbor for the rest of the flight's got hot coffee on his pants.
You're doing an emergency landing?
Like, come on. No. I don't trust myself enough. we got a lot going on. I could not stop thinking about what you said yesterday because it's to me, it was crazy to think. And I'd like to know what people think about it. First time since 76. In a presidential election, there is not a Clinton, Bush, or Biden on the ballot.
Almost 50 years.
That is insane. My entire lifetime, many people who are listening to us right now, their entire lifetime.
Yep.
Three families. Almost 50 years. You said it yesterday, and I was like, oh, wow, like that's kind of crazy. I kept thinking about it yesterday. I got mad at one point. I was at a loss for words at one point.
Yeah.
And then, because I was thinking about, I stopped thinking about it, and I was thinking about something else. If you are a Democrat primary voter, I can't vote in any primary. I'm not registered to a party. But if I was a Democrat primary voter, I would be pretty upset.
Yes.
Because going back to 2008, since the 2008 primary, you've really only had one competitive primary, and that was in 2020. The other ones...
And that one wasn't so competitive because right before Super Tuesday, the only competitive people to Biden decided to drop out.
Right, but it was still like...
Yes, I know.
There were still some candidates on the... It was one that did not feel... I mean, 2008 had this.
Right.
And then 2020, where it didn't feel like the candidate was kind of preordained.
Yeah.
Right? Like in 2016, it was Hillary. I mean, you obviously had Obama running again in 2012.
Right.
2016, it was like
Hillary and Bernie.
Here's Hillary Clinton. And it was like Bernie Sanders there, but no one ever, like, come on. No one ever won. Like, they never gave Bernie a chance.
No.
But also, even the most diehard Bernie Sanders supporters, and I know a few, at the end of the day, kind of knew, right? Like writing, this is what we talked about yesterday, writing on the wall, and it wasn't going to happen.
They had super delegates. Hillary got the debate questions from Donna Brazile right before one of the primary debates. I mean, you're right. It was coming in like, this is Hillary's time to run.
But like, I would be pretty upset at that.
Yes.
You know, that you've kind of been robbed of choice. And then I was thinking about that, and then I went back to what you said. Three names, Clinton, Bush, or Biden, has always been, this will be the first time in almost 50 years that it hasn't done that. And there's so much talk about democracy. Oh, we need to preserve the democracy. Is the democracy dead? Because three names in 50 years, there's always been one of them on the ballot?
You know what the crazy?
That's insane.
You know what's crazy about that? It took 32 years for the other name to be on that list. Because from 80 through 04, it was just Bush and Clinton.
I was just thinking about this yesterday and go, like, how can we even say, what? This isn't a normal democracy right now. If our choices have been so limited to, I mean, on the other side, we've gone three straight now with the same candidate.
To be fair, they did run a primary.
They ran primaries, right? He had to go through a competitive primary two of those three times.
Yes.
At the same time, like, I just can't wrap my head around having the same person win the nomination three times in a row. But who chooses who gets to run for president? The answer is George Clooney. Apparently.
Yes.
Because there was no debates throughout the entire primary season on the Democrat side.
Right.
Dean Phillips would be the one to kind of go and try and challenge the president. I was just reading throughout the morning in the Wall Street Journal. They had this big piece. He described to the Wall Street Journal an October 2021 meeting, how a frustrated Nancy Pelosi told a group of congressional Democrats that she would have to articulate what the president just tried to explain to them regarding the infrastructure bill that passed. In that article, it continues, this is from the article, April 25th, 2023, Biden announced he would run for re-election, declaring, let's finish the job. Days earlier, an NBC News survey found that 70% of voters, including more than half of Democrats, didn't want another Biden candidacy. Half the group cited his age as the major reason. This isn't a new thing. And still, with these concerns that have been around for 4 years, really.
Yeah.
There were no debates through the primary season. You weren't really given a choice at all throughout the primaries. Clinton, Bush, and Biden for 50 years on the... What are we doing here?
Yeah. Who's saving democracy?
No, it's... Nobody is.
Right.
Where are the choices? Like, is anybody fed up at the lack of choices for president? And it's not even like what's happened over the past couple of days. Everyone's lining up behind Kamala Harris.
Right.
It's not as if there's an alternative person who's raised their hand and exactly. said, hey, line up behind, I would like your support too. There's been no other option given, whether that's in the past 2 days or in the past 3 weeks. I don't know if it's making anybody else's head spin right now, but how we can have so few people actually reach the point where you are in the position to possibly be elected president is absolutely wild.
And you want to make it even more ridiculous? Your outside option is from someone from one of the most notorious political families.
Oh, no, we have another option. A Kennedy,
yeah.
Of course. 803-0930. Is anybody else going insane? B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. The craziest part to me of this entire process, it has been, I think after the debate, a lot of people could have seen what happened Sunday coming, right? The president dropping out of the race, just kind of given the outcry that was already there, by the way, right? Mentioned the polling number. Like, it was already a majority of Americans had concerns about the president's age.
And it just gotten louder. I honestly thought after the assassination attempt the week before, and I think Carl Calabrese said it on this show, on the morning show, I think... I thought, well, they're not going to be calling for him now. That'd be insensitive. I think that this is set. And then a week later, he steps out. I when it got really loud toward the end of last week, it's like, it's coming. I just don't know when.
I just, the surprising thing to me in the last 24 hours is that they have so quickly gone to, and I guess this is a question, and you know, it's not like we're short on political guests in the morning, so pose this to some of the people tomorrow. But we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, you know, kind of kicking the idea around. And one of the things that keeps being said is that, well, you can't jump over, you know, Kamala Harris. You can't be seen as jumping over her just to go to somewhere else. And I don't know, Joe, like my thing is, and maybe I'm so out of touch or off base on this, and somebody else can either say, no, I'm with you, or you're an idiot, Brian. But I just personally, I would never look at that as being jumped over. You know, okay, you're the vice president, you're next in line, but this isn't, you know, the middle of a presidency, the president passing away or, you know, stepping aside for some, or right, anything like that. This is a set presidential election that's happening this November that you're looking for the best candidate for. And the vice president was not on that debate stage, did not, you know, run a campaign to be where they are right now. You were chosen 4 years ago, and, you know, you're just kind of hanging out. And it's, quite frankly, the biggest weakness of her very young campaign is that she was the vice president to Joe Biden.
She was there for everything. Everything you can say about Joe Biden, you can say about Kamala Harris.
You inherit any problem the administration has, and you, as somebody who said, you're working with the president every day, you have this hanging cloud of, can we trust you? If you are working with the president every day, we see him once and go, whoa, this guy, he can't be the president for another 4 years. You were working with him every day and didn't say anything until he drops out. You have that credibility concern. So it's just shocking to me that in the last 24 plus hours, everybody said, well, no, this has to be the candidate, instead of opening it up and saying, you know, if you truly want to win the election, who is the best available person?
Yeah, I mean, you would think opening it up now, what that would look like in such little time, I have no idea. You've heard things floated, but you never know what the reality of those things being done is. But you would like to see some sort of competition, some sort of like town hall debate, see Kamala Harris. I mean, remember the last time Kamala Harris ran for president was in the 2020 primaries, didn't even reach Iowa, and ended her campaign the day after being kind of grilled at a debate by Tulsi Gabbard, who's not even a Democrat anymore. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't popular enough in 2020. And this is the thing that I'd love to get a Democrat's perspective on. She wasn't popular enough in 2020 to even have enough support to get to an actual primary vote or a caucus, sorry, in Iowa. What has she done in 4 years to be any more popular? And that's just within her party. Now, again, this is a close election for one reason, in my opinion. There's a lot of hatred of Trump, right? A lot of people who go, I'll vote for anyone. I'll vote for Mazurowski over Trump, right? Anyone over Trump. That is going to make this election close. But she was not popular in 2020. You didn't see her for 2.5 years. Now, all of a sudden, she's going to be president. I think that's why, from this point, she's very unpopular with independents.
Well, you do have a lot more name recognition for being the vice president over the past 4 years.
That's true.
I'm trying to think of who it was now who pointed out, you know, people see, maybe it was Scott McFarland we were talking about, people know the face. You'd have to reintroduce somebody to whoever would challenge her.
Right.
You know, the question is, do you know the name and face for a good reason or a negative reason? And, you know, quite frankly, as a vice president, it's what Steve Roberts said with us a couple of days ago. It hasn't gone that well. In charge of the border, you know, right, that was her big area of expertise. It has been the biggest, you know, hole in the Biden reelection campaign up until this point with how that has gone, to the point where he's totally reversed course in the past few months on that border issue. Aside from that, not much, right? And, you know, it's the vice president. There's not much to do. But right, like, I mean, you're not going to have policy totally attack anything good. The president gets credit for anything bad. You're next to the president for right. Yeah. Like, so you get a little bit of the blame and none of the credit when she things go right.
She is the tie-breaking vote in Senate. I'm not sure we've had a tie in Senate lately, but
It's just I can't believe that she is the strongest candidate that Democrats can choose right now. Unless, and I still haven't, I think I've asked every single one of our guests over the past 2 days this question, and I just still have not gotten an answer that satisfies me, at least. Unless it is so consequential to get somebody fast and get somebody without debating each other and dinging your prospective candidate that you had to do this. And I don't believe that's the case. I don't know if another 3 weeks, it's what I said about Trump. You know, Trump's favorability rating, according to a new ABC poll, is way up. It's gone up 9 points post-assassination attempt. And to what I look at, you know, you just had the convention. We're only in July. Are you peaking too soon? I mean, how much higher can you go in the polls? That would be a real concern of mine. It's not like there's no time to sort through a candidate and you end up with somebody in the middle of August. People say all the time the campaign doesn't really begin until Labor Day. You still have time.
But I'll take you back to what we were talking about in the first segment. Biden, Bush, or Clinton, right? This will be the first election since 76 without either people of that name on the ticket. Why, Brian? Well, a big factor is money. Why pick Kamala Harris? She's the only person not named Joe Biden who would be immediately who would have the funds of his campaign immediately available to her. Anyone else on that ticket, it's going to take a legal process to actually release those funds from the Biden-Harris campaign. That might be playing a factor here. It's a sad reality of our politics, but I think that definitely is one of the bigger issues going into this.
Go to Tina on Grand Island. Tina, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Yes, I would like to know who has the number or can press the red button, or who has the key, because at this time, I don't know who's running our country. I don't know if we have a president. Biden's cognitive abilities are questionable. Kamala Harris is only the vice president. We don't have a president at this time, and that is scary. The next thing is I saw a paragraph that Kamala Harris was quoted yesterday. And basically what it said was that, what I learned from it was that Russia is a country, China is a country. Russia is small, China is larger. Russia is next to China. Is that who we want to be our next president?
Well, Tina, let me tell you, there are a lot of speeches you can pull out. I mean, just last year, she said, you know, the women's tournament didn't have brackets until 2021. I mean, obviously, I don't know where she got that from. Now, to be fair, I will obviously
rank them. Was that, the clip she's talking about, all-timer, great one.
Yes.
Is it more or less funny than the late, great Hannibal Lecter? Right. You do not have to go far. Trump, Biden, Harris, any of our choices that were given to us to just find the most, like, the things that 15 years ago, if anybody said, would just sink a candidacy.
Yeah.
Now and they're just being said every speech by every candidate in both parties. It's insanity.
Yeah. I mean, Kamala Harris said, you know, community banks are in the community. That's why they're community banks.
Fact.
Yeah.
Spot the lie.
But, I mean, that's the thing. And that was my point is, yes, there are a lot, and I'm sure there'll be even more gems from Kamala Harris. The problem in this election, and if I could get Trump's ear, run the Biden basement campaign. You talk about his numbers being where they are now. Don't give people a reason to move away, right? Because Trump, hey, he has some great lines. But every now and then he will say something that will just get replayed over and over. I said this when he was president, and I'm saying it now. The silence he had after the debate, let's continue with that path. I'm saying this as a Trump supporter. Let's run the basement campaign. We were critical of it in 2020. Let's run it now, because Brian's right. I mean, you don't have to look far to get a montage of things Trump has said, Biden has said, Harris has said. We can go back to Clinton in 2016. I mean, you want to talk ridiculous. Anyone who's run for president in the last 8 years has a 20-minute montage of ridiculous statements on YouTube.
How sad is that? You know what would win the presidency? Just never talking.
It's, yeah.
Come on. Somebody on the text board said, well, if Hillary couldn't beat Trump, how could Kamala Harris beat Trump? And I don't know if that's a, you know, good statement to have, because who's the stronger candidate? I kind of think Kamala Harris. Because as much as have said over the past couple of days that, you know, Harris's weakness right now is she kind of has the baggage of the Biden administration.
Saying Kamala Harris is a stronger candidate than Hillary is not saying much. I think Hillary Clinton was an all-time weak candidate.
Hillary Clinton had many, you know, years of baggage that Kamala Harris doesn't really have. You know, you could say she has baggage of the administration, but like I said yesterday, she can also pull the Kathy Hochul approach of, wasn't me.
Right. I mean, Kamala Harris has really not been in the national spotlight since when she was in Senate and went after Kavanaugh, the Kavanaugh hearings, right? I mean, that's less than 10 years. Hillary Clinton had been under a spotlight since 92. You know what I mean? Like, she had decades of spotlight when she ran for president in 26. I don't know. I personally believe it's a toss-up. But again, I'm coming with a bias. I'm coming from this with a point of view from the political right. So that's a biased opinion, but that's how I look at it.
803-0930, go to JC, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. This whole process is kind of disgusting to me. I'm a lifelong Republican who is definitely an independent now. I'm willing to vote really for anybody that actually speaks on issues. I've come drawn to RFK for quite a few reasons, but if you think back, we might have actually had quite a bit of insight on Biden's mental or lack of mental acuity if they actually went through any type of primary process. All of this that's happening now could actually been avoided, even if they had just a smidgen of kind of a primary process, which is historically what all presidents, whether they be incoming or not, have. The issue that I really find deplorable is what I saw the Wall Street Journal this morning, that the interest on our trillions and trillions of debt is now going to be the payment for that is almost taking up a third of our actual budget of the debt. And then chronic disease, that is now nearing the actual amount that we spend on our defense budgets every year. So we have issues that neither of the parties address, and they're responsible for this mismanagement and what's going on in our country. I think if we could all get out of our tribes, our parties that we've been aligned to, and actually look to see what they've actually done for the public, I would hope that we would throw both in the toilet. They're that bad. They haven't been responsible. It's all about the cash, corporations, keeping wars going, etc. There's truly only one candidate that has the intelligence to really overcome, and who's not, well, the word's bidden or Biden to their actual parties and the special interests that fund them. So I would wish everybody to go to RFK's website, look at his policies. He's have them right there. If they don't agree with you or align with you, well, then he's not your guy. But I don't expect that most people have looked at any of the candidates positions online to see, is it really something we want to do, or are you just going to run and vote for the party line, which hasn't done anything for you and your families, especially our kids coming up?
Hey, JC, appreciate the call. I just, you know, to kind of further illustrate the insanity of it all, you know, we need the true outsider, a Kennedy. Like, that's just say that sentence. And I understand the point that you're making, and it's well taken.
If I was running his campaign, my campaign slogan would be, "My family abandoned me." I mean, that's how you run away from the name.
It might be something, but is that not just wild to kind of say that? And I mean, I'm sorry, if I was a Democrat primary voter, a member of that party, of either party, and this was the process, I would be so upset to not be able to have a voice in here, where you allowed zero debate during the primary process. There was no primary process.
No.
There was, you know, and all. Ask 30 people on the street right now. What other name other than Biden was on the, you know, primary ballot? Could anyone tell you a different name? I don't think so. And but, now to move on and say, well, actually, he's not really fit for four more years and wasn't going to win this election. So we're not going to do that. And we're, you know, we'll just pick somebody else. And you never got a say in it.
That's why I go back to what we talked about yesterday. I think they knew exactly the condition of Joe Biden. That's why they had the early debate. This was the plan all along if he had the disastrous debate that he had. Now, I don't think anyone thought the debate would be as bad as it was on the Biden camp. But it does look that way. And again, I have no proof of this. It does look that way, though. You had the early debate. Literally seconds after the debate's over, the calls intensified, and now he's out of the race. Looks like this was the plan all along. I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying that's how it looks to the person who already doesn't trust the way governments run and the two major political parties.
Well, craziness. What happens next? WBEM will have it covered for you.
That's
where
right.
Were we on the list of fittest cities, Joe?
We got to break this down. I'm thinking Max Ferry needs to do the story because we were 38th this year on the fittest cities.
It's pretty good. It's higher than I would have thought.
Just a year ago, we were 22nd.
Nah, something's wrong with this survey.
A year before that, we were 16th.
Something is really wrong with this survey.
In 2 years, we've gone from the 16th fittest city in America to 38th.
I just think they're starting to ask the right questions. Did the survey takers find a scale to use in the...
Jeez.
Come on. There's no way we're... Ask me, you know, what do you think? Where do you think we rank fittest cities in America?
You would think towards Oklahoma City?
I mean, you know, like 130?
Well, I don't
think... It's a lot of cities.
They can't use weight because of HIPAA. So I'm not sure what they actually factor into these surveys.
Oh.
I'll be doing that study this afternoon.
Yeah, well, this might be a flawed survey here.
Might be. But let's whatever we can do.
If we rank that high.
Whatever we can do, let's get those numbers back to 22nd.
Yeah.
That was a proud time.
Let's please. All right, we'll both be back here tomorrow. You've got David coming up after the news with Lucas. Thanks for hanging out with us, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEM.